There's more of the cantata to come. We want to pause for a few moments and listen to God's word. And it's found in Luke, the second chapter, verses 1 and following, and it's the Christmas story. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria, and all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, this morning we continue the series A Christmas Carol, and this morning we're looking at A Song of Love. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about these two little boys, ages 4 and 6, and they were spending their night at their grandmother's house near Christmas time. And she told them that they needed to go upstairs and say their prayers before they went to bed. And so the two youngest boys kneeled down, and these 4 and 6-year-olds began to pray. And all of a sudden, this little 4-year-old began to pray as loud as he could. I pray for a new bicycle. I pray for a new PlayStation. I pray for a new DS game. And his older brother punched him in the side and said, "What are you doing yelling? God isn't hard of hearing." He said, "Yes, but grandmother is." You know, sometimes Christmas has its special traditions and things that are special with us. And for me, one of the traditions that I've always liked and cherished is watching A Christmas Carol with Charles Dickens. And I watched it again last night, the one with George C. Scott. And I don't know that I have a favorite. I love the one with Henry Winkler, and I even like the one with Magoo, if you remember that, and the Muppets. They're all good to me, but there's something special about that. And I said, you know, one of the things that we're going to do this year on the journey to Christmas, since Christmas doesn't fall on a Sunday but once in so many score years or whatever, but we're going to overlay that story with the song of hope, peace, love, and joy, the candles that we light at Christmas time. Now, we're doing love this morning because we had the Christmas pageant last week. We'll do joy next Sunday since it's Christmas itself, and that's a special time to celebrate. But I want to think for a moment about, first of all, love that comes at Christmas time, the song that we have. And we've been looking at the story of A Christmas Carol because it's a very interesting story that's special around Christmas time. And we remember Ebenezer Scrooge, right? He's a sour, miserly fellow. And when his young clerk, Bob Cratchit, comes to him on the day of Christmas Eve and asks for Christmas off, remember what he said? Bah, humbug. In fact, now and then, if we're shopping and all the busyness, we can't get in line, why, we probably are tempted to mumble it to ourselves, bah, humbug. And then when his nephew, Fred, invites him to Christmas dinner, he again says, bah, humbug, and he's got this sour attitude. And then he goes home that evening. And when he goes home to knock on the door, sort of he sees in his door knocker the image of his old partner, Jacob Marley. And he sort of pushes it aside. But then that evening when he goes to bed, all of a sudden he's awakened and he sees this ghost of Bob Marley, his former partner. And he's scared, and the ghost comes to him, and he's chained with the chains that he says that he got in life, that he made in life. And those chains are sort of boxes of gold and silver and coins and ledger books and all the things that he worshiped more than the true spirit of Christmas. And he says this, he says, "The spirit in every man should walk among his fellow men while he is alive. But if that spirit does not do so during a man's lifetime, it must do so after death. The spirit must share in the happiness on earth that he might have been able to turn to happiness while he was still alive." He goes on to tell Scrooge that he's going to be visited by 3 ghosts, the ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Well, 2 weeks ago, we looked at the ghost of Christmas past, and the ghost of Christmas past sort of whisked Scrooge away to his childhood days when he was full of life and full of love and merriment, and he had this young lady that he was in love with, and then slowly he saw the image of how his love for her was replaced by the love of money and things, and so his life became sour, and she left him, and then we talked about how that Mary and Joseph and many others faced the ghost of Christmas past, that they face the ghost of the sin and brokenness of all humanity and the fears and figures of all humanity. But the promise that was to come was a hope that sort of pushed that ghost aside and brought a new light, the light of hope. And we talked about how that on that first Christmas coming into it, why the angel appeared to Mary and with the the news of a Messiah come that Mary gave this first Christmas carol, which was the Magnificat, a beautiful song that's written in Matthew and tells us about Mary's song of hope and what it meant to her. And we talked about it in our own life, how that we sometimes have ghosts from the past. Maybe it's a broken relationship or hurts from the past, maybe even from our childhood, and that often casts a shadow over our life. But the hope that we have in Jesus Christ can push aside the darkness of that moment and give us a song of hope. Last week, we looked at the ghost of Christmas present, and we looked at how that ghost came to Scrooge and whisked him away to another part of town, and he saw the home of this young clerk, Bob Cratchit, and he saw in that home people who didn't have much money, and saw a family in need, and a young boy, Tiny Tim, who needed medical attention. They didn't have the money to give him that medical attention, and yet still with all of that, they gathered around the table and said a prayer, and young Tiny Tim said the prayer, and at the end of the prayer, he said, "God bless us, everyone." And someone said, "Even for Scrooge," he said, "Yes, God bless us for everyone." And that was such a contrast to Scrooge's bah humbug and "God bless us, everyone." And then we looked at that peace that he had was different than the peace that Scrooge didn't have. And we looked at, too, how that first Christmas, there was a lack of peace. The Roman Empire was oppressing the Jewish nation. And we looked at how that this brokenness and sin of all humanity was affecting all of our lives. And then we looked at how the angel appeared to Zechariah and how that he had this promise that his son, John, he and Elizabeth's son would be the forerunner, John the Baptist, who would go ahead of the Messiah, would proclaim the news of the Messiah coming. And Zechariah didn't believe it at first, and so his voice was taken away. But then when John is born and they take him to the temple to dedicate him and people ask what his name was going to be, they expected it to be Zechariah, which was the tradition of the time. And they said, Elizabeth said, he's John. And they all looked at Zechariah, and Zechariah couldn't speak, but with faith he asked for something to write on it. He wrote the name. He said, "His name is John." And in that moment, the Lord healed him, gave him a voice, and he sang a song, which is the second Christmas carol, which was known as the Benedictus, which is this beautiful song about how that God is going to bring peace and that his son is going to go ahead and then the Messiah will come and bring a peace. We talked about how that in our own life we have brokenness. I mean, we all have fell short of what we should do, and we have a sin and brokenness in our life, and we also have some brokenness in our lives in terms of sometimes financial strains or maybe an illness in our life or a loved one, or maybe we're missing a loved one and we long to see them. And when we have the peace that Christ brings, that only Christ brings, then that peace transcends that moment and pushes aside, and we're given a song of peace. This morning, I want to just think briefly about the ghost of Christmas yet to come. It's the last ghost, and it's the scariest of all those, and it comes as a sort of a dark specter, and it takes Scrooge away into the future sometime, and it's sort of this dark area. And as they go down the streets, they hear there's news that someone has passed away, and Scrooge keeps asking, "Well, who is this person that's passed away?" And they go to the home of Bob Cratchit, and they just see the crutches that are there from young Tiny Tim, and wonder, has Tiny Tim passed away? And because of that, he didn't have the medical attention that he needed, and then he's taken away to this warehouse that he owns, and he sees other people on the way, and they're kind of just talking about the person, and people are taking stuff to the pawn shop, and he says, "Well, who is it that's passed away?" And he doesn't get the answer, and finally he goes to this warehouse, and in the back of this warehouse that he owns, there's this cemetery, and he's dragged out to this cemetery, and there's this tombstone with dust over it, and Scrooge asks what the name is, and his finger points at it, and he goes, and he dusts it off, and it's his own name, and he's so scared, and then all of a sudden he's awake, and it's in his bed. And he just can't believe it's happened, and so he's so relieved, and then he opens the window, and he yells out to this boy, "What day is it?" And the boy thinks he's crazy, and he says, "Well, it's Christmas, you fool, you know," and he tells that boy to go and get the biggest turkey possible and take it to the Cratchit's home, and then he goes and tells his nephew Fred that he's going to be there for Christmas time, and then he goes and tells Bob Cratchit he's going to double his salary, and he's going to find medical attention for young Tiny Tim, and it's like his whole life has changed in that moment, because he's experienced love in a special way, because the Christmas spirit of love has pushed all the rest aside. And if you think about Mary and Joseph that first Christmas, and we don't know the song that they may have sung, but every parent sings a lullaby to the kids. I even have a special lullaby that I used to sing to Savannah. I'm not going to sing it this morning, don't worry, but you think of that first Christmas, and Mary and Joseph had to go to Bethlehem, because that was the command of there was a new census, because there's going to be a new tax, and the region had been redivided, and as they went, Why, it wasn't an easy journey. It was just shy of 70 miles by the Roman road, and it began with a steep descent out of Nazareth and then across dusty plains on donkey, and Mary late in pregnancy, and it was a desert region, and it wasn't just about 2,700 feet difference in elevation, and it wasn't just straight. It was up and down these hills and mountains, and you women who've gone through pregnancy and had your husband rush you to the hospital and were trying to be cautious and also insanely fast at the same time, can only imagine what Mary was like on this donkey during this time. And so they finally make it to Bethlehem, and before the time you could call ahead for reservations and before you can get on the internet, why, they find that there's no room in the inn. And they do find an innkeeper who says, charitably, well, I have a place, a little barn, it's all I got, we could have it, maybe it's just a little cave even. And so I think sometimes we think about the innkeeper and, you know, he was gracious, he gave all that he had. And sometimes we don't even have time for people in need, and yet he said, well, okay, this is what I have, and you can have it. And so I think Joseph and Mary were very grateful, and so they went back there, and then they had to have the, once again, sort of the fears of the future, because not only now that they didn't have the reservation, they had a place, and they need, Joseph had to make a cradle, and so he used the manger to make that. He was a carpenter, fortunately, and did his best to make that manger into a little cradle for baby Jesus, and then baby Jesus was born, and then even there, they had to fear Herod, who was suspicious of anyone who might take his throne, and so there was lots of ghosts yet to come. But I think the love of God come in Christ pushed aside all those ghosts, the ghosts of Christmas past, the ghosts of Christmas present, and the ghosts of Christmas yet to come. And in that moment, they were touched by the love of God in Christ in a way that no one else has ever been touched. And all humanity, too, we can look to that moment and know that God cared for us enough in that moment to come and share the most weakest, frail, humble moment to Mary and Joseph, humble parents, beautifully born, to share our life and to show us the way of love and then give his life on the cross that we can know forgiveness and new life and the hope of eternal life. And I mentioned before how this story of A Christmas Carol for Charles Dickens mirrored his own life, his life that became changed. And in 1843, he faced some success, but he had a lot of extended family that moved in with him. His wife, Kate, was expecting their fifth child, and he was worried about his financial condition, and he began to have nightmares of his past. He began to have nightmares when he was just a young boy, just 12 years old, and he worked long hours in a boot factory because his father was thrown in debtor's prison. He only could go to school 1 hour a day, and he could look down through the floorboard and see rats, and he began to walk through his old neighborhood, and he saw these people who were just beggars and poor and ne'er-do-well kinds of people, and his heart was moved in a way that it's like he saw in a vision this story, and he decided that he wanted to give a gift of Christmas for a story that would touch these people's lives and give them hope and joy and love in a special way. And so he wrote this, and he wrote the story. He wanted to have it done in time for Christmas, and he wanted to have it done in a book format that was so inexpensive that even the poorest person could afford it. And he did exactly that. He oversaw the whole thing so it could be a gift to others, and it was a tremendous success, but I think more than that, it was a gift that he gave to all humanity. I think his life was touched in a way that it was a gift of hope and peace and love and joy. In our own life, maybe we're not an author, but each and every one of us has a gift that we can give. A gift that we can give not only to the Lord, but we can offer to others as a gift to them. And we can all offer hope and peace and love and joy because what God has done in our life. And so this morning, I know all of us have some of those ghosts of Christmas past and Christmas present, Christmas yet to come. Maybe we fear the future in different ways. We think of brokenness of sin, and maybe the past failures and brokenness cast a shadow over our life, or maybe there's an illness we're suffering from now, or a loved one that's going through a difficult time, or broken relationships. You know, when we give it all to Christ and allow our life to be forgiven and blessed anew with God's love, then we can know that if the Creator of all that is willing to share our life in that moment and had a plan and purpose that could take even the cross to the moment of triumph from tragedy, then God can take whatever we're going through and baptize it with his love and bring light and life and the song of love into our hearts and lives. And so I challenge us this Advent season to allow love to transform our lives, to baptize us and even the trials and difficulties that we've gone through, to make it a moment of ministry, to make it a moment of light and love in our life. And only through Christ do we know hope and peace and love and joy in that way if we give our life to Christ. As we think about this and we're about to hear the rest of the Christmas story and music, I challenge us to surrender all of our ghosts that we experience to God. The ghost of Christmas past, the ghost of Christmas present, and the ghost of Christmas yet to come. Knowing that only through God's hope and peace and love do we experience love and joy, and only God can transform our life through the gift of love. And so I challenge us to sing a song of love to others and change their life. Listen again to this great news of love. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Will you join me in prayer? Gracious Lord, sometimes we are fearful and tremble of the things that we go through. We think about the pain of the past or the trials of the present. We think sometimes that we're overcome by the worries of the future. Yet we know that we can trust our lives to you because you came to share our life with us in Christ, the greatest gift of love of all times. You came and showed us the way of love and then laid down your life on Calvary. Paid the price that only love could give, your love, that we know forgiveness and new life through Christ Jesus our Lord, and we have the hope of eternal life. And if you can handle all that in such a magnificent, miraculous moment, then you can handle anything we have in life if we but trust you. So we trust you with our sin and brokenness, our past, our present, our future, to make it anew through your love we know in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.